to all. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Well, if you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Well,
really care. I was loud enough, wasn't I? You don't have to meddle. Brother Jerry, we love you. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you are glad to be in church on Saturday night? What a privilege and an honor it is to get to be in the house of the Lord. We've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. How many of you are glad to have both of them? The spirit and the truth, it works pretty good, don't it? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loved you more? I know my Jesus, He's on the main line. Tell Him what you want. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Let's give Him one more gigantic hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got some prayer requests. We have several. If you'd like to be seated while we look at these tonight, I believe Brother Chris Long, is that his name, Brother Harry? Visiting with us from Arizona. Brother Chris, if you'd get ready tonight to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request, you can come and do that if you would just in a minute or two. Brother Randy Walton wants us to remember his sister Jean. She's very sick, also needs salvation, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Please continue to pray for Sister Victoria Thomas. She's still in the hospital, starting rehab. She is still experiencing quite a bit of pain and is asking for God to heal her so she can return home and take care of her family. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Fraser Kahn from New York. He called on Thursday to let us know that while he was streaming Wednesday night service, he was experiencing severe pain in his body. Didn't know what was going on or was causing the problem. At the end of the service, when Brother Donnie was praying and the saints of God joined in, the pain suddenly left him and he wanted to thank the Lord for His healing power. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Pat Nunley wants us to remember Sister Susan Reyes in the Philippines. She has eczema, UTI, and diabetes. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. I want to pray for Sister Estep. Her face is very swollen and very sore. Please remember her in your prayer. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Janet Kennedy says, I just want to thank God and everyone who prayed for me on Wednesday evening. I am so much better. She wants to praise the Lord for that. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Sister Janet Kennedy also says, please remember our son Andrew needs healing for his jaw. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Donna Susong sends this in to have the church please pray for my daughter. My daughter's father-in-law, he has been diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. Without a miracle, he does not have long to live. His name is Don. He's in the University of Kentucky Medical Center. This is Brother Homer and Sister Ruby Blanken's granddaughter's family. Also an urgent unspoken prayer request for a family member that needs to be saved, healed, and needs deliverance. We're faithful streamers. God bless you, and thank you for your prayers. Sister Donna sends that in. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Greetings to the saints. I've been on a feeding tube for over 1 year now. I have a swallow study. This was actually to take place yesterday on July the 20th. I would like for the body of Christ to pray that I will pass this one. I know that I am healed, just want it to be manifested. I'm standing on the Word of God and desire His perfect will. Thank you, and may God richly bless each one. Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight as we pray. I have a friend, Brandon Berry, who got into a car wreck Sunday, hit a rock cliff and overturned his car and was ejected. He is in a coma. He has three little boys. If you could please pray with us, he needs salvation and healing. Thank you, and the Lord bless. Sister Cindy Kirkpatrick sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for traveling mercies. He went to visit his son and be with his family, and the Lord gave him traveling mercy, and he wants to say he thanks the Lord for that. A woman in Missouri lost 9 of her family members in a boating accident. You may have heard about that on the news at Table Rock Lake. 8 more passengers died, and they, I think a total of 17 people that drowned or were killed in that boating accident. So we just, tragedies are everywhere. Trouble is everywhere, but we just want to commit these things unto the Lord tonight. Sister Phyllis Phillips says, on Tuesday I will be having a procedure done on the arteries in both legs. I have very little blood flow in my left leg, and that is why my foot has not healed from my surgery in January, and the infection is still there. I covet your prayers, and I thank you if you would remember me. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Phyllis that the Lord would just let all that be all right. He's able tonight, isn't he?
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Remember the family. Well, this is just another prayer request who lost their lives in that boating accident out in Missouri. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight, how many of you were serving a prayer answering God? You believe that with all your heart? How many of you know He's more real than you are right here? He is more real tonight. Could we stand together? Let's sing a little bit of that chorus as Brother Long gets ready to come. Brother Chris, if you'd come, get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's sing. Let's give Him a little bit of thanks tonight just before we pray over these requests. We want to say thanks.
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 I give you thanks.
Oh.
Glad to have you here with us tonight.
God bless you, baby. Amen. Let's
Let's remember these requests. The list is long. The needs are great. There's no God like our God.
Amen.
There is no God like our God.
Amen.
And He's had these requests read to you tonight so you could become part of Him.
Glory.
By believing that He is able to bring every one of them to pass.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, this evening for this opportunity to be able to come to You. It was in Your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord, that You wanted to express Your attributes, Lord. And what looks like tragedy, Father, is just a place, Lord, where Your children can come and find rest, Lord, in the knowledge that You can do all things. We believe that, Father, but now it's our turn to do all things through Christ. I pray, Father, that You would, Lord, take each request, carefully look down upon it, Father. And from the hearts of Your children who've asked, Father, we pray, Lord, that You deliver each one, that there'd be a testimony from each one of these written requests, Lord, and the unspoken requests. Father, that You take heed, Lord, to Your children as we've come here now to be the expression of those attributes, Lord, to make You a healer, Father, a provider, Lord, Jehovah God, to be worshipped. We just love You and thank You, Lord. We know that You knew they'd be here before they got here, Lord. You knew we'd be here before we got here, Father. And You knew we'd ask. We're asking abundantly, Lord, that You would deliver these things, Father, for Your honor and Your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You're welcome, brother. God bless you.
Appreciate you being with us. Give Him a nice hand tonight. Glad to have Him with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight, and we do have a lot of visitors, we're certainly glad to have all of our visitors with us. Give them a nice hand, if you will. All of our visitors, give them a nice hand. Praise the Lord. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks. Could we all just say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you will. Here's a prayer request we just turned in for Sister Renee Yance, Brother Joel's wife, suffering with back and leg pain. So we certainly want to pray for her tonight that the Lord would just be mindful of her as well. Let's sing this. We wore this song out, but I'm glad for one thing tonight. Not only He is in this room, but He's in this house. Are you glad He's in your house tonight? Are you glad He's in your house? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart.
Start it for me, Brother Harry. Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping.
As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
He's in the house. It had to
heart of mine and gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Somebody say glory. Amen. God bless you. Just singing so good tonight. We're going to have a couple of specials. You can be seated. Brother Joel Brown is here to give us a song tonight. Brother Will Andes is here to give us a song tonight. Those brothers will come onto the platform right now and be getting ready to sing for us. Let's just sing a little chorus of that song again. He's in the house. Do you believe it with all your heart? How many of you come to have church tonight? How many of you come to worship the Lord tonight? How many of you come to get your life changed tonight? He's in the house.
Bless you all. With so many visitors here, I don't know why I'm up here, but I pray this is a blessing to you, and God bless you. Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thy forever will be. This is what I like. Pardon for all my sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. All my hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine. with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Be with you all tonight. How many's glad, as Brother Louis says, to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I was reading the quotes there and listening to Brother Branham, and one day Martha said to Jesus, she said, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." But there was more than a man standing there. You believe there was more than a man in Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," if he hadn't said Lazarus, I believe every person in that grave that was a saint would have risen on that day. I believe that God in our low times is still there to be an on-time God. If you know this song with me, sing it with me. It's good to be with y'all. Lord bless you.
Oh, yes, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, you can ask the children of Israel. They were trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh. God, yes, He is. Oh, banks of the river with two fish and five loaves of bread. Well, now what a miracle he performed for the multitude. Oh, but what he did way back then, he'll do the same for me and you. I tell you, he's an all-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, an all-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, don't say he may not come when you want it, but he'll be there on time. He's an all-time God. Yes, he is. Can you testify tonight? Oh, yes, he's on time. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. He's always on time. He's on time. He's on time. Oh, he's on time. Yes, he is. Well, now he may not come when we want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on time God. Yes, he is. With all your heart now, he's an on time God. If you believe it, yes, he is.
For that. I'm sure there's been times in your life that you felt like he's late, maybe dragging his feet, but God don't drag his feet, does he? Whenever he is seemingly late, it's always to our advantage and always to our good. So glad to be together again in the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it an honor to be in the house of God with God's people? You realize some of these people you're standing around, you're going to live with them for eternity? Don't worry, you'll be changed. You'll like them then. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're certainly happy to have Brother David and Sister Susan and family here with us up for the wedding. We had a really nice wedding last night. It went really well. We certainly appreciate all the effort of the people putting together to make that. And I felt like since Brother David is up here, it'd just be a blessing to us if he'd stay over and speak for us, give you a break, give me a break, give his people a break. This is just a breaking weekend. Amen. We love Brother David so much, appreciate him, miss him, being here. Wow. Brother Brad, you didn't like Brother David. Did you have a problem with? Okay. Amen. So we'll ask Brother David if he'll just come and bring to us what the Lord has placed on his heart for us tonight. I believe we're standing in an awesome, wonderful place. Not just here, but in where we are in time. All the ages have pointed to this time where we are. If we could only see and understand beyond the curtain of time all those that are waiting for their bodies, the prophecies that are remaining to be fulfilled, all of it hinging right on this very last movements of the time when you and I are in. I believe God, our God, will bring everything to pass in His Word, in His season. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing together something, Harry. Sing for us. Let's just worship the Lord now and open our hearts. Whatever your needs are tonight, The Lord Jesus is mindful. Amen.
You are awesome in this place.
Yes, Lord.
Mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
You are awesome in this place.
Amen, Lord.
You are worthy of all praise.
Can we sing it?
To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God.
Once again.
You are awesome in this place.
Brother David.
How many just loves him with all of your heart tonight? Isn't he good to us? Certainly an honor to be here in the house of the Lord with you this weekend. While you're standing, let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Certainly appreciate Brother Donnie asking us to take the services, just the confidence to come, and trust something to be said that will help you tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37, I'd like to look at verse 1, and then we want to read down to about verse 14. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, lo, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. I like this. And ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. Put breath in you, and ye shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. Brother Ram said what every child of God longs to hear. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. Verse 14, and you shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I'd like to speak to you tonight, the Lord, to help us on back from extinction. back from extinction. May the Lord add His blessings wordless just by our hearts now. Heavenly Father, we just are so privileged to be able to come into Your house tonight. I'm asking, Lord, that You would just come, anoint us together, Lord, as we've come to hear from Your Word. Lord, that You could come, speak something over these bones tonight, Lord. Something, Lord, that would be edifying, Lord, that would cause life, Lord, to come abundantly upon the house of God. We ask, Lord, that You would just help us as we surrender ourselves in Your presence tonight, Lord. May there be liberty in the house of God. Lord, we ask that You would just charge this atmosphere with faith now, Lord, that You can just move among us, Lord, that You can so permeate us tonight. Saturate us with Your presence, we ask. And Lord, when the last word is said and the last song is sang, that only You would receive the glory, for Thou alone are worthy. Grant it, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Back from extinction. It amazes me how that when God would set His favor toward a people, it's overwhelming to my mind on how far that God is willing to go get His people. How merciful He is, how loving He is, how kind that He is, how much grace that He possesses. And not just that, but He's patient with His people. He's patient with their maturing. He's patient as they come to this place of growth. And really, it's astounding to know that God, being a Redeemer, that we know that God would have never allowed sickness to be able to come in. He would never allow sin to be able to come in, had He not already had a way to be able to bring us back from whatever we would fall from. And we know He would never allow the enemy to be able to come in and against us, lest He had already provided a way to be able to bring us back from the fall. And we know that He's not just Redeemer. We certainly appreciate, I think it's tremendous when you preach about the attribute of Redeemer. But remember, what follows redemption is He's also a restorer of life. And we know that God would have never allowed His people to be able to go into bondage had He not already had a plan to be able to lead them out what they was going to fall into. And how that He has provided a lamb to be able to redeem them. And not only redemption, but He wants to restore them. He wants to restore them to be able to make a way back, to provide a way back. And we know that something would have to be able to pull upon the attributes that would lay within God, being a Redeemer, a Healer, a Savior, all of these attributes that would be tied up within God. Something would have to counteract that attribute. If God would be a Redeemer, something would have to trigger that attribute of redemption to be able to pull on that attribute to be able to manifest what is already in God. And Brother Ram tells us that God can't be a healer lest there would be somebody would be sick. And then we could say then, you can't appreciate the sunny days without the rainy days. And you can't appreciate the warm days without the cold days. It's the law of contrast. And you cannot appreciate God's restoration power unless at one time you've been out of your position, out of your place, to know that He is a God that can absolutely restore all. And we know, according to the Scripture, in the end time, He'll do just exactly that. He will restore all to the church of the living God. And so something would have to quicken that attribute to what He is. Quicken the attribute of Redeemer, to the Redeemer, to be able to put that attribute and actually put it into action. And cause that attribute to come to the place where somebody could recognize that not only is He a Redeemer, but then they would say, I am the redeemed of that Redeemer. Not only is He a restorer, but I've been restored by the restorer of life. Now, when you talk about redemption, you talk about restoration. We know truly redemption is the ability for God to buy back His own. And redemption is not for everybody, but redemption is for the called. It's for the predestinated. It's for the elect. And we know even by looking at it scripturally how that we can see that God has allotted seasons that He would display those attributes, times that attribute would be quickened and made known to the people. And so there's seasons of redemption. Not only is there seasons of redemption, but there's times of deliverance according to the Word of God. There's times that God would allot and how that He's appointed those moments as He would allocate certain times that He would allow deliverance to be able to come. And once that deliverance be able to come, that attribute of who He is starts getting pulled on, and then it calls God into action. Oh, hallelujah. I said it calls God into action. For those that are down, if they need it uplifted, they actually begin to call God into action. Oh, I think of the day that we're living in, how that you and I are needing a new body. I said, how we're needing a new body. What will call that new body upon the scene when you and I begin to cry out for it? We need a new body. We need a body on the outside to match our experience on the inside. Hallelujah. We can see how through time that God has allotted junctions. The prophet said junctions of times where God would allow His people to be able to no longer continue down that road of bondage, but He would come to that moment, that paramount time that God would send deliverance to His people. And then it would cause God to move in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. It would cause Him to move, to be able to reach down and be able to pull His children out of whatever bondage that they're in. We can read and how that God has delivered His children supernaturally, but be it, you would look at it by the natural mind and you say, why would God allow them to be able to get into that condition just to begin with? Why didn't God just stop them before they ever got down there? Why didn't He just stop them before they ever got into that situation? Because many times there's a purpose behind the test. I said there's a purpose behind our testings. There's a purpose behind our trials. There's a purpose behind our testings. Amen. Whenever you and I go through deep, dark trials, there's a purpose behind that trial. Oh, it would be great if God would just stop before any bad thing would ever happen to us. Wouldn't it be great if God would just stop that and never allow you to be able to get in that situation? Every bad decision you would ever make, God would just stop you and keeping you and say, oh, no, that's not the right answer to that. You need to do it this way. But if God did that, we would be so faithless. We would be a faithless bunch of people. We would be so spiritually lazy that God couldn't get nothing out of us. We would be so useless to God that God would recognize there's nothing you and I can do to be able to believe the way we need to. We'd never overcome nothing. There'd be no overcomers. Amen. You realize God doesn't stop trouble. As a matter of fact, God puts bits in its mouth, the prophet says. God didn't stop the Hebrew children from going to the fiery furnace. He just showed up in the middle of the trial. Hallelujah. He doesn't stop when problems come. He just shows up in the middle of it. He didn't stop Daniel from going down to the lion's den. But what He did is He showed up right in the middle of the trouble. Matter of fact, God didn't keep Lazarus from dying. I said, God didn't keep Lazarus from dying. He just showed up and spoke over them dead bones up there. There was no life in them bones. There was no breath in them bones. But when God showed up at Lazarus' junction of time, it was His hour of deliverance. It was His hour of freedom. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching right now. It was His time. I said it was His time. It was His part to play in the scripture. The Son of Man spoke over them dead bones. And they shall live, saith the Lord. They shall live. We've had similar things happen in our hour. Amen. We've had the Lord show up in our day. As a matter of fact, a mighty angel
has descended in this hour. And the book of redemption has came open for you and I. He come to breathe. He come to breathe over these dead bones. He come to breathe life back into the sons and daughters of God. He come to bring redemption. He come for the purpose of deliverance. Seasons of deliverance. Seasons of joy. Seasons of happiness. Seasons of victory. Hallelujah. Oh, now there's times where things will get so bad it doesn't look like there's going to be any way out of the situation. Oh my, it looks like it's a complete impossibility. There's no way to get out of the situation. It just looks completely hopeless. Amen. He'll bring people right to the brink of catastrophe. Then he'll send a deliverer to his people. I said right at the darkest moment, he sends a deliverer by his people. Amen. So there's junctions of it. There's seasons of it. There's seasons. Think about it. Times of redemption. Seasons of restitution. Acts 3 said there'd be a restitution of all things. That word restitution means restore. A time to restore all things. So then that tells us there's an appointed moment for full restoration. Amen. I said there's an appointed, can I say it? There's an appointed day. There's an appointed age for full restoration. Amen. Now notice, I'm not just talking about scriptures. I'm not just talking about restoring scripture, just restoring doctrine. Because many people try to reduce the word just to doctrine. I'm talking about something you're included in. You are included in the promise of God. You are included. Hallelujah. You're included in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let me say this. You're included in the Scriptures. There's been some words spoken concerning you and I. Amen. Things concerning me. Things concerning you. Promises I'm included in on. And then there's been a time that's been allotted for my full redemption. Full restoration. Whatever we've lost, he's going to restore it back. Now listen, not just now, not just in the last 50 years, but I'm talking about whatever has been taken from sonship. Whatever has been taken from God's people ever since the fall, he's going to bring it back. Hallelujah. Remember, God cannot forget one of his promises. He can't forget his word. If God said it, he will bring it to pass. Whatever rights has been taken, God must compensate. God must bring it back. And restores back to what we fell from. Something's been stolen. God's got to bring it back. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. God's watching over every bit of it. And he's a faithful redeemer. He's a faithful restorer. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He ain't never give up on us. He's got his eye on his word tonight. Restore. Redeem. You're talking about full restoration. If Satan stole your peace, God's going to make him give it back. I said, he ain't asking him. I think we're polite sometimes, too polite sometimes. We just ask, well, can I just have that back? Listen, friends, you've got rights as a believer. You've got rights as sons today. Maybe you're here tonight dealing with a situation where it's just weird you to the place where you don't know how in the world you're going to get around it, just to the place of exhaustion. And it pulls you down so far, you feel like you're completely gone. Let me tell you something. God made a promise to you. We got his word. We got his oaths. We got his promise. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Too many people. You mind if I take my liberty? Too many people are losing their joy of serving God. Losing their joy going to the house of God. losing the joy of the words tearing up their soul. Satan has robbed people of that. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to be a people that has joy among us. Can't wait till they come to the house of God. Can't wait to hear the promises of God. Can't wait to see what God's going to say to me tonight. God don't want a church full of cranks. He don't want a church full of complainers. He wants people who's anointed to stand behind the word of this day. He don't want people who feel they're made to dress a certain way and made to act a certain way. We're not made to. We're honored to. God don't want people living down low. He wants people that's living in the word of God. Amen. He wants to shout the king in the camp. He wants victory amongst the people. People who ain't ashamed to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People who ain't ashamed of what God does. I love it. I love it when the word starts talking about times of restitution. I love it when it starts talking about times of restoration. That means if you're a little low, God's appointed a time to pick you up. If you're down and discouraged, God has allotments and junctions to be able to pick you up. If you've been robbed by the enemy, whatever it is, God will make him give back whatever he stole from you. Whatever Satan has taken by sin, God will make him give it up. We're the people of restoration. Listen, we are the people of restoration. I'm not talking about a city. I'm talking about a people. It's a people. Restoration belongs to a people. We're the people of redemption. That's his word. He's showing if there's a redeemer, there's a redeemed. If there's a restorer, there must be the restored. Now, when God says it, whatever part what God would say, when God's word is breathed, when it's breathed out upon the bones, God cannot retract that word once he breathes over it. In other words, and once he breathes it, it can't keep from doing what God said it would do. Hallelujah. Oh my, he's a God of life. He's a God of power. He's a God of quickening power. I'm not talking about something on a cloud. I'm talking about something you possess tonight. Everybody wants to talk about God. I say we ought to possess what we're talking about. He don't change his mind, the prophet said about his word. Now once God speaks his mindset concerning these bones, what he says, holding to his word. Notice what he said concerning Israel. He said, for thou art a holy people. How many believes him? You're a holy people unto the Lord, thy God. The Lord has chosen thee. Come on, somebody. This ain't how you feel. He don't ask how we feel about it. He don't ask what you think about it. He's proclamating and telling you, I chose you. There ain't no questionnaire going to be passed out. There ain't no comment cards passed out. God is making a declaration by his word, and when he says it, he means what he says. There are the holy people. The Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people in himself above all the nations of the earth. He's telling you, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Notice what he's doing. Before he ever gets started, he's showing unmerited favor to Israel. Watch. There's going to be a lot of negative that's going to precede what he says in Deuteronomy. But God ain't changing his mind. There's going to be some idolatry come up. There's going to be all types of things that's going to raise up. But God is not changing his mind concerning his word. So Israel didn't earn this. They didn't work for this. They didn't achieve this. This is something given to them by unmerited favor. David says it like this. He had remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Psalms 105:9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Psalms 135 and 4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob, which is Israel. He's chosen Israel unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Isaiah says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. But Jesus wasn't going to come for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. No idolatry can change that. No sin can change that. No sickness can change that. I wish you'd get a hold of that tonight. Nothing can change God's thoughts concerning his elect. I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Isaiah 44:21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I've formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. You know why they can't be forgotten of him? Because he created them. He called them. He chose them. He elected them. And they're not getting away from his word. So he's speaking his covenant over his people. Hallelujah. And once God says it, God means exactly as he says it. No matter where they go, he's going to get them. Watch how patient he is. Watch how patient he is. Watch how loving he is. Watch how forgiving he is. No matter how far down they get, he's going to be there, because I can't forget about you. Listen, no matter how dry they get, he can't forget about them. No matter how scattered they get, he can't forget about them. Even if they get out of their place, even if they get out of their position, I can't forget about you. Even if they're in the valley, he can't forget about them. If they get discouraged, he's not going to forget about them. Because when God spoke it, God said it. And how God brings it to pass is seasons of deliverance. Now God pronounces it. And now it's just the timing, that allotted moment, that God's going to bring what he says to pass. Now truly, there was times it got very dark. Oh my, it was a dark time for Israel. It got to the place where it seems like that the light would be completely snuffed out, and there'd be no hope for anything to even come out of them. Even when it came to the seed of God, many times the seed would get to the place where it looked like it would just go into ruination and nothing would ever come out of it. But God's watching over his word. Even to the natural mind that would look at you and look at me and would think there's no way they're coming out of that. Oh, that may be that way to our mind. But in God's mind, he's had a higher thought. You'll remember that Israel went into exile. Right? They went to Babylonian captivity. And I want you to notice that when they go into this captivity, there's already promises that's been written concerning them and their captivity. God ain't blindsided by captivity. God ain't blindsided because they are going to exile. Oh, but it's an opportunity. I said God uses those troubles as opportunities. Opportunities to move. Opportunities to deliver. Opportunity to prove his love for us. Micah would say it like this in Micah 4:10. be in pain and labor to bring them, watch this, to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. Thou shalt even go to Babylon. Babylon. Look at this. He's telling them, pain's going to come upon you. Just as a woman that is in travail, listen, travail to give birth. She's going to have pain. She's going to have agony. Amen. But notice what he's telling her. It will be with suffering. Amen. It'll be so dreadful. You'll be exposed to darkness. You'll be exposed to evil. You'll be exposed to all kinds of spirits. Come on, somebody. You're going to be exiled. You're going to leave this city. You're going to be scattered all across the field. Amen. You're even going to end up in Babylon. Right? You realize Babylon, that's the enemy's ground. That's the enemy's territory. That's the enemy's land. That's the enemy's graveyard. Come on, somebody. That's a place where people go to be buried. One writer said it like this. John Calvin expressed it like this. I thought it was tremendous. He said, being led to Babylon as an Israelite is like being led to your own grave. They called it the prison house because that's as far down as you can go is when you're in Babylon. And I'll just tell you, Babylon wants to bring you to extinction. Babylon wants to bring people to annihilation. He wants to bring them to an end. Amen. He wants to bring them to the grave. Oh, but Micah says, be in pain and labor, bring forth, O daughter, like a woman in travail. Thou shalt go forth out of the city. Thou shalt dwell in the field. Thou shalt go even. Watch the way he says, even to Babylon. But then he says, there, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of pain, in the middle of travail, in the middle of discouraging times, preach with me, somebody, there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. He brings them to the darkest place imaginable. Amen. He brings them to the worst place you can even think of. And he says, right there is where you're going to come out of. When you're down there in that valley, that's when I'm going to breathe over you. That's when you're going to hear the word of the Lord. That's where I want to do it at. God can keep his word. He can prove his own word. There shalt thou be delivered. Amen. There shalt thou be redeemed from the hand of thine enemies. You see that? From the hand of their enemies. Which means their enemy has such a grip upon them. Think about it. Their grasp within the clench of Babylon's hand. Oh God. The grip that he would have. I ain't letting you go. You're bound and I'm not letting you go. You're going to stay here. This is where you're going to be at. You're in captivity. You're bound. You're chained up. You're locked up. The grip of the enemy. Oh, but he tells them, the arm of the Lord is going to reach down and he's going to unclench. He's going to break the grip. Hallelujah. He's going to break the grip of the enemy. You're going to leave the city. You're going to even go through the field. Think of, even there's going to be those that are murdered, but then you're going to be led into the field. You're going to lay on the streets. You're going to lay in the fields. You're going to go all the way down to Babylon. Israel would lose Jerusalem. They would be scattered across the fields, and they would ended up being gathered. Watch this. the gathering would take place in the darkest spot. The gathering, hallelujah, the deliverance, redemption, restoration is going to happen in the darkest place imaginable. Look at their journey. They came from the homeland. A place of peace, a place of victory, a place of joy, a place of worship. But they became prisoners, chained up to one another and led into captivity as they would come through the field. And finally, they would end up caged up and bound up in Babylon. But it's right there, God says, that God would deliver them right in the midst of the most wicked place. Can I say it? Right in the middle of Satan's Eden, where there's more darkness than there ever has been. There's more perversion than there ever has been. There's more sickness and trouble than there ever has been. But right there, there's a gathering going on. Amen. Some's in Johnson City, some's in Arizona, but there's a gathering going on. We're at in Christ. I said in Christ there's a gathering going on. Oh, think about it. You would say, Brother David, how in the world? Oh, how in the world can the gospel end up in such a terrible, how can it end up in that kind of a place? That's the enemy's land. Come on, mystery. Mystery Babylon. But God took the gospel right to the mother of Babylon. Right into the heart of the enemy. The darkest, think about it. Right into the very depths of all unbelief. Right to the place of the headquarters of hell. And there, he's going to redeem you out of there. And he says, I'm going to bring you back. That's restoration, somebody. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to redeem you from the grip of the enemy. He's going to lose hold upon you in that hour, in that season, in that time of deliverance. He's going to lose his grip from off of you. And I'm going to redeem you from Babylon's oppression. Oh, yeah, that's the work of the enemy. His job is to oppress. His job is to make you depressed. His job is to make you a nervous wreck. Why? That's Babylonian ways. I'm going to redeem you from a place of a possibility, but the word's going to restore you back. It looks impossible. It looks like there's no way that a word-born bride can come out of there, but he's going to. I'm going to restore light in the middle of darkness. I'm going to restore happiness in the middle of trouble. I'm going to restore sanity in the middle of chaos. Notice how God does this. Notice what happens. There's a change of administration. The old king, oh listen, the old king of Babylon become defeated. I said the king of Babylon become defeated. And now there's a new ruler taking the throne. There's been a change of kings over Babylon. And the old king went out and a new king come in. He'd already been prophesied according to Jeremiah. And he said that here would come Cyrus. And Cyrus would take and bring to pass what the Lord had said by Jeremiah. When he said, I'm going to make them, let them go. You know why? When Jeremiah said that, God knew exactly why he was saying it. It may have made no sense to them whatsoever whenever it was prophesied. But God knew that one day there was going to be a new king on the throne. And the words of Jeremiah would be pulled down and brought to pass. I like it. Your exile is over. Your bondage is done. I've come to fulfill the words of the prophet. Matter of fact, I want you to restore the temple back to what it originally was. So not only was there deliverance, Not only was there redemption, but the king moved upon the people to bring restoration to everything that had been torn down. He said, bring me some of the silver of redemption. Take that gold of deity. Bring it back to the house of God. Bring it back to the temple of God. Bring it back to Jerusalem. I said, I want you to bring my gold back to Jerusalem. Bring that silver back to Jerusalem so redemption can come to pass. Isaiah says it like this. Listen very close, I'll hurry. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 52. Isaiah says concerning their deliverance. Isaiah would say, awake. Awake. And put on thy strength. Hallelujah. Put on thy strength, O Zion. And put on thy beautiful garments. Listen to this. I found this today tremendous. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth, there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. What's he saying? Wake up! Wake up! Arise and shine! Take off them old garments. Take off them old stained garments of sin. Take off them old Babylonian garments. Oh, take that tattered garment. Take that sinful garment. Take that off and put on thy beautiful garments. Notice this word, oh God, notice this word beautiful. The word beautiful, listen, it means beauty, splendor, listen, glory. Look at this next part, an attribute of God. Somebody ought to be throwing a chair right now. Take off that old battle-stained garment and put on the attribute of God that belongs to you. Thy beautiful garment. Take off them garments of bondage. Take off them garments of sickness. Put on that attribute of God. Garments of redemption. Garments of restoration. Garments of glory. You're not slaves no more. You're not bound no more. You've been bought with a price. I said you've been bought by a price tonight. You're redeemed, saith the Lord. Come alive. Come alive. Ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Put on thy beautiful garments. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 61 concerning their deliverance. Isaiah would prophesy and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. We've heard enough negative. I said, we've heard enough negative. I've heard for years how I'm not going to make it. Let me tell you how you are going to make it. Preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to breathe. That word proclaim means to breathe. Proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim. Listen, friends. Don't just sit on it. Don't just sit on it. Proclaim it. Confess it. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Listen. To comfort all that mourn. When does people mourn? At gravesites. When the hillside is spotted with graves. Amen. It's a time of mourning. But now he's saying, awake. I've come to bring good tidings. And it's now, it's the year of Jubilee. It's the hour of freedom. It's the season of deliverance. It's the time of release. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I know who he's talking about. To give to them, watch, beauty for ashes. Oh God, you're going to get the oil of joy in exchange for mourning. You talking about an exchange. I get the oil of gladness. I get the oil of joy. I lay down my mourning. I take on the joy of gladness. And then he says, watch, thy garment, thy beautiful garment. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It literally means this. As you put on praise, heaviness has to fall off. Which means you can't wear both of them at the same time. I said you can't wear both of them at the same time. As you put off that heaviness, you put on the garment of praise. My God is King. He is Savior. He is Lord. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. What are you doing? Putting on the garment of praise. The garment of praise for in exchange for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. People in the Bible being typed as trees. The planting of the Lord. Listen, listen, listen. That he might be glorified. So you're telling me that when I put on praise, come on somebody, whenever I get the beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, in me reigns my King. He is glorified in me. About to kill me. So when we start praising him, all of a sudden heaviness starts taking an escape. That old trouble starts leaving you. Them old thoughts starts leaving you. That old weariness starts leaving you. That old discouragement starts leaving you. And now you got a little bit of victory. You got a little bit of joy. You got a little bit of happiness. You can't wait to talk to him. You can't wait to pray. You can't wait to get to the house of God. You can't wait to see him. Garment of praise. Hallelujah. You talking about comfort. I said you talking about comfort. He's not putting our arms around you and having a pity party. That's not the comfort he's given me. My comfort ain't to sit around my problems and start thinking about how big they was. We're not sitting around my sins and talking about how much they had me bound. That's not the comfort I needed. I needed an escape. I needed him to breathe over these dry bones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you get a hold of that right now, weariness would leave you. Trouble would leave you. Sickness would leave. I'm putting it on tonight. I ain't leaving here the way I came. Isaiah would go on to say when he said, awake, put on thy garment. Isaiah would go on to say in verse 2, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down.
What's that? What's that?
Awake! Awake! Get up!
Sit down. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Listen to this. I'm going to show you how important the Holy Ghost is. I'm going to show you how important quickening power in your heart is. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. The bands, they say historically, would be so tight upon their neck, it would limit their speech. Because it's around their neck, it would limit the decibel of their volume of their voice. Babylon was trying to silence the bones of Israel. Hallelujah, Babylon was trying to stop the confession of the righteous. But I will restore, saith the Lord. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know what he's telling you? It's the season of resurrection. It's the hour to be loosed. It's the hour to put on a better garment. Come on. It's the hour to be. You've sit in Babylon long enough. You've been down in Laodicea long enough. It's time to loose thyself. It's time to come out of Babylon. Listen to this. A person that would sit, as he was explaining to us, arise. The reason why they want to arise is because they're sitting in the dust. And when you sit in the dirt, you get dirty. And the clothing you're wearing becomes affected by your surroundings. Trying to be good, but it's hard. So what you're around impacts the clothes that you're wearing. Think about it. He said, arise. In other words, they're sitting in the dust. It's an expressive, it's a descriptive expressive of one who is in mourning, sits in the dust. What's the way this comes out? Powerful. Because one would sit in the dust, it's symbolic that that person is in mourning, because they're sitting in the dust. As a matter of fact, Job chapter 2 verse 11, just a little example. When Job's three friends heard all the evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his house. Watch the end. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down. They sat down with him upon the ground. 7 days, 7 nights, none spake a word unto him, for they saw, listen, that his grief was very great. So they come before Job, and they know he's in mourning because he's sitting in the dust. So they sat in the dust with him. And Isaiah is saying here, he's speaking to the dust. He's speaking to those who are in mourning, in captivity, in Babylon. Come on, somebody. He's speaking the word over them bones. And he's saying, awake, arise from the dust. Come alive, you dry bones. Come alive, you dry bones. It literally means to rise up and shake the dust off of you. Come on, somebody. Take them chains off of you. Loose them chains from thy neck. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be lifted. Arise, I say unto you. Watch Isaiah 52 and 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise. And sit down. Watch. The word arise means to ascend. It means to come up hither. It means to come to an appointed place. It means to come to an appointed position. It means to be caught up. Now watch. I want you to arise out of this dust. I want you to awake from this valley of Babylon. Awake from these dry bones. It's time to arise from the dust. And when you arise, I want you to sit down. Now notice, he's not saying, I want you to go back to mourning. It's an expression that once you arise from mourning, there's a position, a place. A place prepared for you. It's higher than the dust. It's higher than the ashes. It's higher than the dust of mourning. Higher, oh, think about it. It's higher than the grave. Higher than Laodicea. It's higher than death itself. It's an expression for kings. He has made us unto our God. After the book has been taken, he's made us unto our gods, kings and priests. Kings rule over a natural domain, and priests rule over a spiritual domain. He's made us kings and priests. It was forbidden for a king to sit in the dust. Glory. So he would have an elevated throne that he would sit in. And his chair, his seat, his throne was higher than everybody else's. It's so much higher that it would be hard for his legs, his feet, to even touch the floor. So, oh God, so they would put a footstool underneath him to rest his feet over the dust. Oh God. So the dust, the ashes, oh God, it would be under his feet. Don't you see what the millennium is going to do for you, kings? We're going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked. It means to arise from the dust. And to sit in the throne. Look at the journey. Look at this journey. We was born in the dust. But we end up in the throne. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it. Unmerited favor. Simply, we heard the voice speaking over that valley of dry bones, and every bone came to his place. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells it like this: the Laodicean church, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Oh, don't you see what I'm telling you tonight? I don't know what you're hearing. I don't know what you hear when you hear the word. I don't know what you hear when you hear the tapes. But I hear somebody say, wake up. Come to your place. Come to your position. This is your season. This is your time. This is your day. This is your hour. Shake the dust off of your clothes. Shake the dust off of your feet. Arise and sit down. Shake that sickness off. Shake that dust of mourning off. Shake that sin of unbelief off. Rise to your position. For this is your day. He's calling out across that valley of dry bones. Dust, I want you to arise. I want you to shine. I want you to come together. Thy light is here. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Come to your position. Come to your place. For whom the Son is made free. Hallelujah. Brother, when it looked like it was completely over, and Israel went so far down into Babylonian captivity, it looked like there was no way they're coming out. Oh, there was a word that was watching for the right moment. Oh, an allocated season that would come to pass. Oh, think about it. I wonder how many lived there. How many died down in that Babylon? How many died down in that dust? But there was those who was alive and remaining. When the hour of deliverance come, there was some, oh, hallelujah! They was those who was going to receive the promise of the Word of God. I'm reminded. Let me close with this. I'm reminded in Works as Faith Expressed. Remember, I'm talking about the dream that he had. He said, I had a dream the other morning. Don't dream very often. I'm not a dreamer. I seen a man, a young fella, in shackles. He was trying to get out. And somebody told me, he said, those are horrible people. Don't you have nothing to do with them. And I seen this young fella getting out of his shackles, so I just let him alone. And I thought, I'll just see what he does. So when he got out, he was a nice fella, and I seen the others trying to get out. This is only a dream. I walked over this way, and I seen Brother Roy Borders, a very good friend of mine, lives in California, looked like there was something wrong. Listen. His eyes was half closed, maybe cancer or something over his eyes. And someone was trying to pull me away from him. And I screamed, Brother Borders, in the name of the Lord Jesus, snap out of that. He just barely could speak, saying, Brother Madam, it'll have to take something more than this. I just can't grasp it. I just can't grasp it. And so, Brother Borders, listen, I love him. And someone pulled me away, and I looked, it was a lady standing over there. When I was a little boy, I used to haul groceries for the grocery store to the people's, and her name was Mrs. Finch. She lived in Jeffersonville yet. Personal friend of the wife and I. She said, Brother Branham, deliver us from this. Deliver us from this. This is a house of hell. You've been misunderstood. You misunderstood these people too. They're fine people. I looked over there like a great big cellar, big walls, down beneath a great big cave, great iron bars, 8 or 10 inches thick. And the people, listen, out of their mind, twisted arms and legs, beating their head like that. And she was crying, saying, deliver the people, Brother Branham. Help us, we're in trouble. She herself, I know she belongs. Listen, I believe the Church of Christ, Christian Church, or the Church of the Brethren. I looked around, I said, I wished I could go on looking around. My little bitty body and them great big iron bars and those poor people in there. You couldn't get to them. The iron bars were sitting close together, and I looked, and they were beating their heads like that out of their minds. But I saw some flickering. I said, in the middle of the darkness, here comes some light. And I looked up, and there stood glory. There stood the Lord Jesus. Lights and a rainbow around him. He was looking right straight to me. Deliver those people. And he went away. And I thought, well, how can I deliver them? I ain't got strength enough in my arms to break those bars. And I said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and I said, house of hell, give away in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother, just like it was to Israel when they was bones in that dry valley, Brother M said, I heard some creaking and some popping and some rocks a rolling, and the bars was a falling, and people was sitting with their arms folded. And the people running, she got her voice back. She was running and screaming. What was she screaming? Oh, Brother Branham, oh, Brother Branham. No, no. She was screaming, delivered, saved, redeemed, restored, called, chosen, elect, predestinated. We were screaming, deliverance. Screaming at the top of their voice. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm one of them tonight. There's been some popping. There's been some screaming. There's been some bones come back together. Hallelujah. No doubt Satan thought he had them, but out of extinction. I said, out of extinction, there was something going on. Listen, and Satan, if he could have stopped it, he would have. But he could not stop it. Because greater is he that is in me. Come on, somebody. We possess a king that's a ruler. We possess a king. He's an overcomer. And if he's in you, he'll overcome in you. Back from extinction. Ain't that powerful? So I say unto you, put on thy beautiful garment. Take off that heaviness. Put on thy garment of praise. Exchange it tonight. Whatever you're packing around, whatever you're carrying in this building, don't carry it out tonight. Arise, dry bones. Arise. Sing something, Brother Harry, if you would. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I am redeemed.
Praise be to the name of the Lord.
You set me free.
Come on, house of God. Why don't you just let him know what he's done for you?
So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
Take off those chains.
Wipe away. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Oh, let's just lift our hands tonight. Let's just tell him who we are. You're a redeemer.
Yeah.
hallelujah. How many believe that tonight? Oh, give him a great hand clap of praise if you love him. Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wonderful. I don't know if you realize it or not, July the 21st is the saddest day of the year for true Jews. You see, it was on this day that Nebuchadnezzar arose finally and made the descent into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. It was this same day that Titus comes into Jerusalem and destroys the temple. The same day that the 10 spies said, "We are not able." For weeks, the Jews have been fasting up for this season and time. Because it's the saddest day of the year to them. Now, of course, they don't recognize Jesus and all that, so as far as they know, this is the saddest time of the year. I don't know if you've ever seen a Jewish wedding or not, I don't know anything how they do them. But whenever they finish the vows, the groom is handed a glass in a little sock-looking sort of a thing of fabric and material. He will take, lay that down, and crush it like that with his foot. It symbolizes the destruction of the temple. So, this time of the year for them is a very sad time. But for us, glory be to God. It is our season of the resurrection. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, didn't you appreciate the word tonight? Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. They call the Sabbaths after July the 21st the Black Sabbath. Because it's a time of such sadness. But this morning I say unto you, shalom. Hallelujah. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in His wings. Hallelujah! He has raised us from the dead. We were a dead people, but we are not dead tonight. We are alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Wonderful job, Brother David. I wish I was a young preacher and could preach like that. Now I'm an old preacher and just get along, I guess. Amen. Don't you appreciate God's gifts? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads if you would. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, how we appreciate what you sent to us tonight. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord, and bringing the things which were needful. It's our time. It's our season. There was a time in our lives that we were laying like those bones scattered upon the yard. But there was a seed of God. And it began to hear the voice of the resurrection. Like that little eagle in the barnyard heard that great being over the top of him screaming. The prophet said he looked up and saw something like he wanted to be like. He couldn't have said that if he was a chicken. He could have only felt that way because he was an eagle. So he saw in that mature mother
what was in him. Praise God, the same image. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I pray you'd refresh our brother's body, strengthen him, Lord. We gather here in the morning for the service, waiting again to hear once again from you. And we know that you are faithful. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have raised from the dust and sat down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And it won't be long. We'll be raising again from this dust when we'll be healed finally from our mortality. And when we get healed from our mortality, we're going to sit down at a great old big long table, thousands of miles long. We'll reach across the table and take hold of the hands of those battle-scarred veterans. Praise God. Lord, don't let there be a one of us missing, Father. May each of us be there that day. We love you now. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back again in the morning, if it be pleasing to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. Turn and shake hands with somebody and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Let's sing a little something as we go, and we'll see you tomorrow at 11. God be with you.
Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.